Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great trip. I appreciate all of you who gave and prayed. God blessed it the whole time, and wonderful things happen. We're able to make a difference and help some needy people, and that's always a blessing. And 1 Corinthians 15, I'll read out loud if you don't have a Bible or want to listen along either way. I'll read the verses out loud. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." By the word the gospel, the word means good news. That's what the word means. When you say that preach the gospel, it means you preach the good news. "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what was preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I determine unto you first of all how that I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So it says this, by the gospel, by the good news, we are saved. So you're saved by this gospel, whatever it is. But then he defines what the gospel is. What is the good news? Verse 3 and 4 says, "How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day." So the gospel, the good news that saves us, is Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. That is what saves us. That's what gets us to heaven. You might say, well, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to get there because I'm a good person. The gospel is not you're a good person and you're good enough to get to heaven. The gospel is that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again. You say, well, my church will save me and get me to heaven. The gospel is not. The good news is a church can take away your sins. The gospel is Jesus died for your sins. Church didn't die for your sins. The pastor didn't die for your sins. The priest didn't die for your sins. The good news is not you were baptized. The good news is not you were born into a Christian family. The good news is not that you're a good person to go to church a lot. The good news, the gospel that saves us, is Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the good news. And that's what the Bible says is the way that gets you to heaven, the what saves us. And that he was, verse 5, seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So he says, all these people saw Jesus. And then verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. So if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins." You're not saved. "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But if in this life only we have hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the wonderful comfort it brings. Lord, as we have just a little less time today, Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand your message. I pray you give me your thoughts, your words. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be in charge of this entire service, that the power of God would touch hearts and minds, that we would see with clarity your way. I pray we'd see the gospel clearly. I pray we'd see the importance of the resurrection clearly, Lord. Please, Lord, help us in a powerful way and help us to hear from you. May every soul that doesn't know you as Savior know you as Savior today. May everybody who knows you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord. I'm not capable of doing what needs done in the spiritual realm. So I pray you just take control. And where two or more are gathered, you're in the midst of them. Lord, you met with us in the middle of the jungle with some believers who had language problems with understanding and us understanding them. But you met with us, Lord, and I pray you do so in a nice, comfortable spot where we can be here together. And I just pray that the thing that makes any service great, your presence, would happen in a real and powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection of Christ happened. It's not just a thing we talk about when we celebrate Easter, talk about the resurrection. It's not just that that's a national holiday and we got to do something on that day. I know Easter, like Christmas, gets to be about a lot of other things. It's about the Easter bunny and chocolate and all the other things it gets distracted with and new dresses and spring and all the things that come in, and that's fine. I'm not against that. If you have a chocolate bunny, you want to give it to me, I'll take care of it. And I don't mind that at all. But it's evil. It needs to be destroyed. And I know just the way to destroy it. But where I'll never be seen again. But there's nothing wrong with that. But when we get together and we celebrate Easter, and we don't know when Christ is raised from the dead, if it was the certain Sunday of a certain month, we don't know the exact date. Maybe we can get pretty good guess by the holidays that happen in Bible times and stuff, but it doesn't really matter. It's good we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ and thinking about that. And we should always celebrate that and think about that. That's good. But as we look at the resurrection, we think about it, it's not just that it's a certain time of the year and we're supposed to do that. It's actually an event that happened. It was seen, talked about here, the people that saw it, Cephas it starts off with, then there were 500 people saw him. Then the apostles saw him raised from the dead, clearly crucified. The Romans never let you live. As they crucified you, crucifixion was enough to kill you. But they wanted to make sure at the end that nobody got off the cross, so they did one of a couple things. Usually what they did is, because when you're hanging there, you couldn't breathe because of the pressure of hanging on your arms. You couldn't take breaths, and eventually most people died by suffocating, not blood loss. You would have to push up with your feet to keep your breath coming, because you'd be getting your ribs torn and the hanging weight make it so you couldn't expand your lungs and you die of suffocation. So what they did usually at the end was break the legs of the prisoners just to make sure that they'd be dead. And they did that to the people around Jesus. However, the Bible prophesied none of Jesus' bones would be broken through the crucifixion. So they didn't do it with him. They came up and they took a spear and stabbed it through his side. Now, it already says that his bones were looking upon us. In other words, his bones were exposed. He was so torn up. His face, his visage, it said, it prophesied, was so marred that you couldn't tell his features of his face. He already had the thorns in his skull. He already had the cat of nine tails ripping his skin off his ribs. He already had been beaten and punched and everything else, and then crucified, the nails. You'd already bleed to death, certainly. But to finish it off, they took a spear and stabbed it through his side, they try to stab it in the heart area. And, of course, if you weren't dead before, you were certainly dead then. And so he's dead. The Roman soldiers said, okay, he's finished. No more breath, no more anything, and so he's crucified. To explain the resurrection, obviously something happened. If nothing happened, the disciples wouldn't have went and died saying that he was raised from the dead. If I'm going to make up a story and lie about something, when they come and take me to crucify me as they did many of the disciples, or kill me in some other way, or cut my head off, and I've been making up a story and lying, and I didn't really see him, he didn't really die, somewhere along the way I'd tell them, hey guys, I'm lying. Because then you could live. Yet the people all over said, no, I saw him. He was raised from the dead. He had the scars, but he was alive and vibrant, and he walked, and he went out, and he ate, and he did all these things, and he appeared in the room, and he's powerful and all these things, and something happened. It couldn't have been an event where a rumor just started. It couldn't have been an event where somebody said, I thought I saw him. It had to be something that was impactful enough where it stayed. There's been many events people thought were happening or thought happened but didn't happen. For example, when the War of the Worlds first came out on the radio, it sounded so realistic, and the way it was broadcast on the radio, people who turned on the radio thought the Martians had invaded. and people were panicking and things. But eventually they figured out it wasn't true. Well, they never figured out. As a matter of fact, the resurrection's only grown now. And more people have believed it. And it's not gone away. And it wasn't disproven. All that had to happen, I have to understand, it's a absolute dictatorship, oppressive, soldier-run, bodies hanging crucified around town state they're living in. And all of a sudden, something that threatens the state comes in, which is, this guy was raised from the dead. All they have to do is find that body. And all the threat against the Roman Empire is gone. And by the way, they had the authority to do whatever they want. They could walk on anybody they want. They could walk up to any of the disciples. They could put a knife to their throat and say, show us where the body is. They had guards guarding the body. And yet, they never could find the body. Because it really happened. Jesus was the Son of God. He came to earth. He never sinned. He died on the cross willingly. He could have stopped it, but he's dying for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he is sitting up in heaven, the right hand of the throne of God. And he's there right now. And it is a real thing that happened. The witnesses saw it, the Romans and the local leaders, the Jews, didn't want it to happen, didn't want it to be true. They would have loved to have found the body. They would have loved to disprove it. They would have loved, and they tried. But he was truly risen from the dead. And that actually happened. Those of us who've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have no doubt, though we weren't there, because you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Listen, I've never seen Jesus physically, but I know he's alive. I've met him. He lives inside of me. I accepted him as Savior. He's as real to me, though I don't see him physically, as any person in the world. He's my best friend. Once you accept Christ, the Bible says, hereby know we that we are in him by his Spirit, which he hath given us. We are indwelt by the presence of God when we come to Christ. And we know that he's alive. And we know that he is risen. We know it because the scripture foretold it. We know that because the witnesses were there. We know it because the body wasn't there. We know it because he still changes lives today. He's alive today. It isn't, but you have to understand, the resurrection is not just one of the parts of Christianity that's pretty important. It is the complete separation and the absolute essential part of Christianity. It says here, if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. Although we believe means nothing if Christ isn't raised from the dead. Why? There's been a lot of good teachers. There's been a lot of prophets. There's been a lot of decent people in the world. But they died, and their grave is there. That Jesus was raised from the dead separates him. It makes him fulfill prophecy. It makes him a different person. It is the essential truth of Christianity. Many people were crucified. One was on each side of him. Yet that he was raised from the dead separates him and makes him a very special, different person. What does a resurrection bring is the title of our message today. What does a resurrection bring? I'm going to give you a few things, and we have to go a little fast today because we spent time on the mission trip. But first of all, what does the resurrection bring? First of all, it verifies Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It verifies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So here's the thing. The resurrection wasn't just a random event that all of a sudden happened. Everybody said, wow, he was raised from the dead. The resurrection was foretold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born. See, the Messiah, the Christ, they called him, the Anointed One, he was a man who was going to come, but he had to fulfill a whole lot of Scripture. See, the Bible, all different authors of the Bible in the Old Testament before Christ, it had all these prophecies that had to tell, that told what the Messiah would be. And there was 109 of them, at least. Out of those 109, if he fulfilled 108, he wasn't the Messiah. Had to fulfill every single one of them. They weren't vague. They were very specific ones about who he was. They were very specific what city he'd be born in, what family line he would come from, where he would live as a child. Later on in his life, what his ministry would be like, how people would receive him, how he'd be sold by a friend, how much money he'd be sold for, what the money be used to buy. Very specific things, not vague things. One of those many things that were prophesied is it told in the scriptures that the Son of God, that the Messiah that was going to come and save his people from their sins, he would die. But when he died, he'd come back to life. So it's vital to prove that he was a Son of God. If you, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures," that was going to happen, "and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now the Bible foretold that Jesus would die, that the Son of God would die, that the Messiah would die and be raised from the dead. I'll just read you a couple of those scriptures it just told, and just a couple out of Psalms. And now the book of Psalms is written 600 to 800 years before Christ. And so it says in a couple of different Psalms, it talks about how he would be raised from the dead. Psalm 16 and verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul," and this is a prophetic psalm, "thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." The corruption of death, when the body starts corrupting and deteriorating, it says his body would never do that. And it's very specific on that in several places. And then I'll read Psalm 49. And verse 15, it says, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." So it verifies who Christ was. Listen, lots of teachers, lots of good prophets, lots of good men have come and taught good things. We do not claim Jesus was just another prophet. Now, there's religions that do that. Every religion, every major religion in the world believes that Jesus was a prophet and a good teacher. Christianity believes he was a Son of God. That's the difference. If you were to talk to a Muslim, they would tell you, oh, Jesus was a very good prophet. You talk to a Buddhist, he'll tell you Jesus was an enlightened one. But you talk to a Christian, and he says, Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was a Son of God. Lots of people have come. Lots of people have died. Lots of people have died terrible martyrs' deaths. Lots of good prophets and teachers have died terrible martyrs' deaths. But their grave is there. But they died. They didn't come back to life with their wounds still scarred on their hands like Jesus did. Jesus was separated by the resurrection. He is the Son of God. He predicted that he was going to die and come back to life. I'm going to turn to Mark, book of Mark, chapter 9. There is a religion right now in the Philippines where it was a cult already, but then finally the cult leader said, "I'm actually Jesus come in the flesh." And he's gone to that level now, and they do that. Bible says, last days many shall come and say, "I am the Christ." My temptation is to go kill him and see if he comes back to life. My temptation, not going to do it. But, when he dies, that guy will be in the grave. By the way, in big trouble. In big trouble, but you know what? He'll die. Jesus said, "I'm going to die, but after I die, I'll come back to life." He just told very openly, very clearly. He didn't hide it. He didn't mask it. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." That's what Jesus said he was going to do. He told it very clearly. He did it again in Mark chapter 10. And verse 34, "And they shall mock," Jesus speaking of himself, "and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." In Matthew he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again." And so Jesus very clearly told it. He was that. He predicted it. He told who he was. So what does the resurrection do? It verifies who Jesus was. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah who will save his people from their sins. He was the perfect one who came and never sinned and who died on the cross and rose from the dead triumphantly and said, "Death has no power. I'm the Son of God. I am more powerful than any man. I am not just a man. I am God with us, Emmanuel." Amen? It proves who Jesus was. It separates him from all of mankind. It makes him the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, the Christ, the Son of God. It makes him who he is. And number two, what does the resurrection bring? It brings hope to the darkness of death. It brings hope to the darkness of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. This chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is what we call the resurrection chapter. The whole chapter is about the resurrection from the dead. And he says Christ has been raised from the dead, and that's what our faith is all about. But the chapter, because of the resurrection, it talks about that we get a new body in heaven, and it's a different body, and it's a resurrected body, and we'll be in an incorruptible body, a body that can never get old, a body that can never get hurt. Those who are in heaven have a perfect, incorruptible body that'll never get old, never hurt, never die. And in verse 53, it ends with great victory and great celebration over death because of the resurrection. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. You know, it says right there, the grave has no more power. Death has no more power. I don't know when you first found death and understood death and saw death and got around death. I remember two instances where death became very real to me. I remember when I was, I'd have been 16 years old, maybe 15. Me and some friends went out to party, and they were drinking, and two of our friends drove off drunk, and they drove off a cliff, and they were both killed. And I remember seeing his body in the water. His head was ripped off, and he had come out of the sunroof of the car in the middle of the process, and seeing them dead and thinking, I'll never see those guys again. And to realize he's not coming back. He's very, I couldn't comprehend that they're just done. And death, and all of us sometimes we see death, we know somebody died, and we're like, that's very, I don't understand that. That's and it's very dark. I remember another step that I got into was I had a man in the church is very new and small. A man called me and said, my mom is dying. Can you come to the hospital? And I took off the hospital and met at the hospital, and she had just passed when I got there. And this man was not too stable. And his mom, he lived with her, and he was an adult man, but just had a lot of needs. And his mom was there. And in the process of time, just comforting him and stuff, he wanted to take off her jewelry to remember her by. It's very difficult to do after somebody dies. And so I started doing that and just feeling a dead body. If you don't know that, a body's very cold, gets very cold very quickly. And feeling a dead body and thinking this flesh is just a thing we're in. This body is not our soul is so much more than this body. And to realize just death is just such an imminent, it's going to happen, powerful, dark, inevitable thing. And when you really, until you understand the resurrection, death is dark and hopeless and miserable. And then you start getting older, you start hitting your 40s and 50s. I hope to someday, and you start getting older, and all of a sudden you realize, boy, when you're a man in your 40s and 50s, every time you get a chest pain, you're like, and all of a sudden you start getting creaks and pains and aches, and gravity gets much stronger than it used to be, and all these things happen, and you're going, my body's getting older, it's not going to get any better. And all these things can be very depressing. I know you're never, I'm never going to get older fat. All right, give it some time, 18-year-old. And we'll see what happens in a few years. And so you say, man, death is terrible. But you know, when you understand the resurrection, the Bible doesn't say Jesus kind of squeaked out of there. It says he triumphed over it openly. He mocked at death. It says, I have the keys of hell and of death in Revelation chapter 3. See, Jesus destroyed the power of death. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You no longer have power, death, because Christ raised from the dead. He showed these bodies are just temporary. He has the ability to resurrect us. We'll get new bodies in heaven. Thank God. New bodies in heaven. Death will just be, death no longer becomes an end. Death becomes a graduation. You just went from junior high to high school. You just went from high school to college. You just graduated from college and no more school. Death to a Christian only takes you to a better place now. A better body. Listen, our society is so unbelievably unhealthy. We're in this chronic society, and there's a thousand reasons for it. I won't get into it. I'm just going to say Filipinos are much more healthy than us with much worse health care. It has a lot to do with diet. I asked for extra lettuce in my bacon burger. I know. And that's the problem. And I asked for a Diet Coke with my supersized fries. But listen, these bodies got problems. These bodies, and we can get so down, it's never going to get better. Oh, no. Listen, it's going to get way better. Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death. Yes, death's going to get you someday. Everybody's going to die. But you know what? What's the problem? You're going to be resurrected. See, and if you don't, if you're alive at the rapture, you don't even have to die. You just go up into heaven and get a new body on the way up. That's better, by the way. I don't mind death. I just don't want to go on the next train. And I don't necessarily want to, I don't want to experience death. But I'm going to die one way or another. Even at the rapture, I believe you die. Every it's appointed that a man wants to die. And after this is judgment, I believe you die on the way up. And then you get a new body. And I'm ready for my new body. And you're going to be in heaven in fullness of joy and in his presence forevermore. See, death can never take you now. Death never has the power. There is no more power in death because now we have heaven. Now we have the resurrection. Now death is not the final thing. Death is just a step to get you to the next place. Death is just an airplane to take you to your paradise destination because Christ is raised from the dead. Heard the story that the dad and his daughter were in a car and they were driving along and a bee was in the car and the bee landed on her and she was very scared and she was screaming, Dad, help me, help me. And he's driving to the road. He just reached over and he just grabbed the bee off her shoulder and just squeezed it in his hand. And then, after a moment, he throws the bee down. The bee's still crawling. She's cringing and freaking out and saying, Dad, the bee is going to sting me. It's going to sting me. It's going to sting me. And he held out his hand and just said, Look, honey, the stinger's right there in my hand. The bee can't hurt you anymore. I took the stinger away. The bee has no more power to hurt you. And Jesus, when he suffered for us on the cross, the sting of death was taken away by Jesus. Amen? He took the sting and the power of death away when he broke through the grave and came back to life. And we have no, death has no more power over us. It is just a way that to get us to heaven. It cannot keep us in the grave. We're going to be resurrected. We get a new body. We're going to be with God forever. And there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, fullness of joy at thy right hand or pleasures forevermore. He wants us to be safe and secure from death. He wants a funeral for a Christian to be looked at differently than a funeral from a non-Christian. Blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It brings hope to the darkness of death. You know, folks, if you're saved, if you're born again, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you got it made. The worst thing that can happen to you is you die and go to paradise. Jesus Christ took the power of death. What does a resurrection bring? It brings a verification that Jesus is the Son of God and the Christ. It also brings hope to the darkness of death. Thirdly, what does the resurrection do? It is necessary for eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now listen, the gospel is a death, the burial, and the resurrection. I want to say this. If you do not believe Jesus is raised from the dead, you cannot go to heaven. Because you don't believe he's the Son of God who died for our sins. You do not believe in the resurrection. The Bible says you must believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. But if you do, thou shalt be saved. See, here's the gospel. We're all sinners. Heaven's up here in perfection. We all sin and come short. Some come way, way, way short. Some are murderers and bank robbers and all kinds of terrible things. And then some people are not too bad. And then there's some people who are pretty good people. But everybody comes short. Go to church every Sunday. Doesn't matter. Live a good life. Be a moral person. Be nice to your neighbor. That's all great. Wonderful. Glad you did that. It doesn't get you to heaven. You still have sin. The sin is the issue. It's not your righteousness. God wants everybody to go to heaven. If they have no sin, they go. Problem is, we all have sin. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. So God said, I've got to save mankind. I love every human. I want them to go to heaven. They're never going to be good enough to go there on their own. They can never do enough good deeds to remove their sin. By the way, the myth that doing good things takes away any sin is nowhere in the Bible. You could do one sin in your entire life and 10 trillion good things. The Bible never says the bad goes away. Okay? I don't get pulled over by a policeman, and I'm going 110. And he says, were you going 110? I says, you know how many times I've kept the speed limit? And he says, oh, well, if you've been keeping the speed limit, that erases this 110 miles per hour. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't matter how many good things you do. Your sin is the problem. My sin is the problem. It has to be gone. So God said, I love the world so much, somebody's got to suffer for that sin. Jesus, since you're God, you're going to become flesh. You're going to never sin. You're going to be perfect. You're going to take all the sins of the world on you. And all of my punishment for sin, you're going to suffer. Since Jesus was God's son, he could suffer all the sin of the world. And in one day on the cross, he could be crucified and absorb all the punishment and all the pain and sorrow of hell in himself. And he did that. He died on the cross for your sins. If you could be good enough for being baptized or going to church or being confirmed or living a good life would do it, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. He died, he was buried, and 3 days later he came back to life. And you must trust Jesus Christ as your way to heaven. If you trust anything else, you're going to have your sin. In the process of believing in that, you must believe that he rose from the dead. Otherwise, he was just a man who died. But when you believe he was the Savior, you believe that he rose from the dead and had power over death. And now he's the one who saves us. When you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you can't save yourselves. He rose again from the dead and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. I can't be good enough. Right then, your sins are gone. He comes into your heart. He forgives you for your sin. He becomes your best friend. He never leaves you ever again. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't come into you because you were so good. He doesn't leave you because you aren't so good. God comes in to stay. You might not be perfect, but he is. He knew all your sin beforehand. He loved you anyway. He loved me anyway. And if you believe that he is a son of God who rose from the dead and you want to trust him to save you, that separates you from those who are lost. Believe in the resurrection and ask him to save you. You're saved. Do not believe in the resurrection. You are lost in your sins. And the Bible says, you won't be saved. You won't go to heaven. You're lost. I'm so glad that when I was 16 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. My faith was never perfect. I was messed up and in sin and all these things. But you know what? I believe that he's my Savior, and I believe he rose from the dead. And that resurrection brings salvation to mankind. Thank God. Well, it's wonderful Jesus was raised from the dead. If he wasn't raised from the dead, it said we are still in our sins. But since he's raised from the dead, death has no power. Since he's raised from the dead, we have hope. If a meteor is coming, if disaster's coming, we have hope. I asked a pastor in the Philippines, and his house was, and we have pictures, and house is destroyed. Good man, older man. And I said, what happened during the hurricane? He said, well, you know, we've been through many, many, many typhoons. I always call it hurricane. They're typhoons to them. I said, and he said, we've had many. And he says, we were in the house. And he says, all of a sudden it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And he said, pretty soon my roof flew off. Then all my walls started falling over. And I said, what did you do? He said, I started crawling. And he said, in the process of crawling, things were hitting us. And he says, I was praying. Oh, God. And I said, were you scared? And he said, I was scared in the sense of the wind and the darkness and the power and the noise, and my wife was crawling with me. But he said, I knew where I was going if I died. You know, I'm so glad that no matter what comes in a crazy world, and it's a crazy world out there. If you haven't found out the world's crazy yet, you haven't lived long enough. You will. But you know what? In the crazy world, we can be absolutely secure because even death has no power. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, destroyed the sting and the power of death. He rose from the dead triumphantly. He showed his disciples. He ate with them. He said, put your fingers in my scars. He said, I'm alive. And he disappeared and appeared somewhere else. And he disappeared and appeared somewhere else. And he went up to heaven because he's in that new body that we can't even understand yet. And by the way, the Bible says we shall be like him. We'll get a new body that can do all kinds of things. I'm so excited. Getting a little older, getting a little more wondering about the future. That's natural. That's normal. But you know what? Don't worry too much about death. Jesus already destroyed it. Jesus already destroyed it. Thank God. Thank God for the resurrection. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so blessed that we know the risen Savior, the one who's already been through death, and can come back and tell us about it. 100% of people alive today have never died. They can't tell us a thing about it, but our Savior did. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the guarantees. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. Lord, we don't like to think about death. Death is not pleasant to us, and it's not. But Lord, thank you that even the worst thing in life has no power because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Thank you, the loved ones that we know in Christ who've passed will see him again someday because Jesus was raised from the dead. Thank you, Lord, so much. I pray today if somebody doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they'd be saved. I pray they'd accept him. I pray that they would believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and who he said he was. I pray that everyone here would leave here with the hope of eternal life and the hope of the resurrection, and with death having no more power. I pray any Christians today who's been discouraged, we remember they're on the winning side, and but thanks be to God, which always give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, that victory is ours. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful day. May today we trust Christ and live in victory and joy of that victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.